Okay, I was asked by a Talmud of mine who recently got married last week that, he didn't get married last week, he asked me last week, that he and his wife are going to be in Iceland at some point this summer, and they wanted to know, I think sometime in July, they're going to be in Iceland, and they were thinking, hey, once we're in Iceland, we might as well spend Shabbos here in Iceland. So he wanted to know what the halachos are of spending Shabbos in Iceland. So at first I didn't really understand the question, probably the same as the halachos of keeping Shabbos everywhere else. But apparently, Iceland is located in a part of the world. Well, let's give a little bit of background. There's something called the Arctic Circle. The Arctic Circle is an imaginary line that runs through Canada, Greenland, Scandinavia, Russia, Alaska, and from there north, there are days in the summer that the sun doesn't set. There are days in the winter, the sun does not rise at all. You go through the whole day, only sunshine the entire day. You can go through a whole day of only darkness. So in the northernmost town in the world, in the north of Norway, the sun stays above the horizon from April 20th to August 25th. The sun does not set. From April 20th to August 25th, the midnight sun is visible for 4 months. From October 27th to February 15th, the sun never rises. Can you imagine how depressing that must be? There are places in Canada, the sun doesn't set for almost 5 months of the year. The North Pole, the sun rises in March, and it sets in September. And that's, it's a six-month thing. So apparently in Iceland, the sun sets, but it doesn't, you never get seisa kochavim. It never really gets dark. So there are these two types of shilas, I guess, that come up. Some places where there's never even a shkia, and in other places where there is a shkia, but you never have it seisa kochavim, it never gets dark. That would be the places just below the Arctic Circle that have, in these extreme locations. So it is an interesting question to contemplate how one keeps Shabbos in such places. Now, before I get into any of the shitos, I will tell you the one thing I know about this sugya is that I don't understand this sugya, is that I don't really have a clear understanding. But I'll just share some of the ideas that are out there as to what one would do. When man landed on the moon, there was a major discussion about keeping mitzvos on the moon. The poskim were very fascinated by keeping mitzvos on the moon. So you would imagine the shaila would be about keeping Shabbos on the moon, Zmani Tzvila on the moon. The Shaila even went beyond that. There were some Rabbanim who suggested maybe you don't have to keep mitzvos on the moon at all. Maybe there's no chiv mitzvos whatsoever, because after all, the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin tells us that there are certain mitzvos that tzlius ba'aretz, and there are other mitzvos for chutz la'aretz. But it all implies that it's in the aretz, that it's in the that it's on earth, but maybe on the moon there's no chiv mitzvos. Now that was roundly rejected by all of the mainstream poskim, that certainly there is an obligation to keep mitzvos, but zmanim became a real issue. So there is a perush on the Kuzari called the Kol Yehuda, who says that if you are in a place where there's no sunrise, no sunset, then there are any time-related mitzvos are totally irrelevant, because there's no such thing as day, there's no such thing as night. So anything that relates to Zman can't be a mitzvah. So mainly you're pata from all time-related mitzvos at all, completely, which is quite a chiddush. But what, that given the circumstances, the whole circumstance is quite a chiddush. As Ibn Ezra in Bereishis, in Parshas Bereishis, that many are medayik from, that assumes that a day is 24 hours regardless. Sunrise, sunset, no sunrise, sunset, and the clear raya, what's the best raya? That a day is going to be a day whether there's a sunrise, sunset or not. Why would this be at the beginning of Bereishis? Meaning there were days before there was a sun. So if there were days before there was a sun, so it must be that there's a way to have a day without having a sun. What's the most logical way to have a day without having a sun? A 24-hour time period. But the Achronim have a major debate as to how to deal with these kinds of places. Minchas Salazar writes that Munkacher that the day lasts. We always follow when there is a sun. We follow sunrise, sunset. So if a day will always last until the next sunset. If the next sunset is 6 months from now, then that's the end of the day, which would mean you keep Shabbos every X number of years, meaning it would be for a very, very long time, right? You end up keeping Shabbos for an entire year, right? But that's, it seems absurd, but that's the Shita Minchas Lazar says, because as long as there is a sunrise, sunset, I don't know what he would say about the moon, but as long as there is a sunrise, sunset, then that's what you have to observe. The Teferis Yisrael and the Mishnayos suggest that if the sun sets, but it never gets dark, like in Iceland, you start Shabbos at sunset, and you end Shabbos 24 hours later, even though there's no Tzeisa Kuchadim. So because since Shkia is the beginning of Shabbos anyway, so you know when to start Shabbos, it's only Shaila about ending Shabbos, but Shabbos is supposed to last 25 hours, so 25 hours later is Tzeisa Kuchadim. But if the sun never sets, he says, you keep Shabbos, this is a great Kiddush also, you keep Shabbos the same time as the place that you left from. So that's a major discussion. What does he mean by that? So if I left from New York, I keep Shabbos the same time as New York, and I meet another Jew who left from Israel, and he's keeping the same Shabbos the same time it is in Israel, and we meet another Jew who came from Canada, and he's keeping the Shabbos. So we have three people in the same location, all keeping Shabbos at different times, because we all came from different places. So many of the other Achronim understand that what he must have meant is that you keep Shabbos the same time as the closest Jewish community. In the 19th century, there were places where they kept Shabbos the same time as Hamburg, Germany, because either that was the closest Jewish community, or that's where they actually came from. And that's usually after midnight, and you can make early Shabbos, but it's very, very inconvenient, obviously, especially if you're machmir, for those who make early Shabbos, to, like the Mishnah Berurah suggests, to have at least the Kazayas of Pas after Tzeisah Kuchavim, after it's nightfall already. So that's going to be very, very hard if you don't consider it to really be nightfall, to really be Shabbos, until 1 o'clock in the morning, let's say. I'm told, this Talmud told me that there's a Chabad in Iceland, and that they keep Shabbos till like 1 in the morning or something. They have some sort of Shita where they keep Shabbos till about 1 in the morning. So he was calling me asking, okay, we're going to go there for Shabbos, and that's ridiculous. We're not keeping Shabbos till 1 in the morning. So like, when can we really end Shabbos? So of course my answer was, don't go, right? You shouldn't, we have to differentiate between the situation where a person is stuck somewhere and a person who just decides, because it would be a nice spatzir, it would be a nice little, it would be a chavaya to spend some time in the location, well, not at the risk of Chil Shabbos, we don't do a chavaya. You know, if you're opening a Chabad house or something and you're going to reach Jews that otherwise would never be reached, then you can be able to inspire people, and you have a very clear mesorah of how to paskin in these things, that everything is in Shulchan Aruch Rav or whatever, so that's one story. But if you're just ongoing, because Stam, it would be interesting to go. Someone asked me in my shul a couple of weeks ago whether what they should do. They want to take a vacation in Hawaii. So when they should, which day should they keep Shabbos? Because there's a dateline issue. It's machlokas about where exactly the international dateline is in halacha. So I said, vacation in Arizona. What do you have to go to Hawaii? Go vacation in Eretz Yisrael. You know, go somewhere else. There are lots of nice places in Europe. You can go to, there are lots of nice places in America. You can go to, you know, on the mainland. You don't have to go to Hawaii. So someone said to me, you really hold that? It's mamsh usher to go to Hawaii? No, if you have to be in Hawaii, so then we have to pass in a shayla. Okay, then we're going to have to deal with it. But why would you put yourself in that situation? Why would you get into a shayla where there are such difficult things? It's very so goes on to say that, that this is all Drabbanan, based on Gemara Shabbos Taf Samach Tes, that when you're lost in the desert, you just count 6 days and you keep Shabbos. So he thinks it's, the Rav Yaakov Emden also writes that it's analogous to that. When there's no sunrise, sunset, it's really the closest analogy we have in the Gemara is someone who has no idea what day Shabbos is, where the halacha is midrabbanan, what he's obligated to do is just count 6 days and then keep Shabbos. Of course, this is not exactly the same because there are no days. So what do you mean count 6 days? So you just counting six 24 hour periods. The Ben Ish Chai writes that in the absence of a sunrise or a sunset, we assume that 6 a.m. is sunrise, 6 p.m. is sunset, Shabbos starts 18 minutes before 6 o'clock on Friday, and ends 72 minutes after 6 o'clock on Shabbos. You know, in every yeshiva you've ever been to where they try to explain Shos Manios to you, right, how do they do it? They always say, let's assume a perfect 6 to 6 day. So Ben Ish Chai says, absent everything else, that's your day. The perfect 6 to 6 day is your day. Rav Sturmbach in Ma'adim Uzmanim writes that the day begins and ends whenever the sun is at its lowest point on the horizon. Meaning, if it never dips below the horizon, so then we're going to define it as whatever the lowest point is on the horizon. Meaning, obviously, the sun does not stay in the same spot in the sky. So that's how we would have to define the end of the day. And that's usually going to be around midnight. But he says there's no way to fulfill mitzvos halayla. Meaning, if the sun is up the entire time, you cannot fulfill kriya shema shel arvis. But the Hasidim quote from the Baal Shem Tov that we always count whenever there's no way to cheshbon otherwise, we always go by Yerushalayim because our neshamas are always geared toward Yerushalayim. So apparently in Oslo, Norway, they do something like that, that they're always following the zmanim of Yerushalayim. But you see how difficult this is, how challenging this is to find any sort of precedent or any sort of anything in halacha to really get a clear picture. I saw on the Star K website of David Heber, who happens to be somewhat of an expert, not somewhat, he's an expert in zmanim, Big Talmud Chacham from Baltimore, quotes Rabbi Heinemann, where he says essentially as follows, that in the summertime, north of the Arctic Circle, when the sun remains above the horizon for 24 hours, you begin and end Shabbos at, following the most machmir opinions. That means that you begin Shabbos before 6 p.m. on Friday, and Shabbos ends around midnight, 30 hours after Shabbos began. So he says, he gives the example, if someone travels from Baltimore to somewhere above the Arctic Circle, Shabbos begins on Friday at 6:42, Shabbos ends at 1:15 a.m., early Sunday morning, or whenever the place he came from finishes Shabbos, whichever is later. So he just tries to satisfy the different opinions by being machmir like the different opinions. Below the Arctic question, Anchorage, Alaska, Stockholm, Sweden, the Arctic Circle, Anchorage, Alaska, Stockholm, Sweden, Oslo, Norway in the summer. So those places do have sunrise and sunset 365 days a year, but during part of the summer it never gets dark. So that was the shaila we were discussing before. So when can you daven marav? When is Shabbos over during that time of the year? So Rabbi Heinemann paskins that you can daven marav and begin Shabbos after plaga mincha, an hour and a quarter halachic hours before sunset. Meaning counting sunrise to sunset, you divide the day into 12 parts, and one and a quarter of those parts. But you should repeat Kriya Shema just before Chatzos HaLaila, which means just before it gets as dark as it's going to get, even though it's never really going to get dark. And Shabbos ends right after that at Chatzos HaLaila itself. So he gives an example. On June 22nd in Anchorage, Alaska, the sun sets at 11:43 p.m. and rises at 4:20 a.m. So you daven marav and you begin Shabbos after 9:42 p.m. because you can't start Shabbos before plaga mincha. We're supposed to be most mechal al kodesh, but you're not allowed to do that before plaga mincha. So 9:42 is the earliest time one is permitted to start Shabbos, and then repeat Shema at 1:55 a.m. prior to Chatzos HaLaila. Shabbos ends at 2:02 a.m. on Sunday morning. Fast days also not so gishmak, right? To be in these kinds of places. So clearly, I think the message is clear. This is a very complicated halachic issue, and what makes it so complicated is normally you find a dimyon, you find something to compare it to, you find something in Chazal where you can say, oh, that's more or less the same, and you can and you can work through a sugya that way when something new comes up, right? When a new shaila arises, the skill of great poskim is to be able to apply divrei Chazal to the new circumstances that arise. But this in this particular instance, the poskim have a very, very hard time. And Rav Asher Weiss sometimes comments that he feels that this generation, that in our generation, there are shailas that are coming up, there are new shailas that are coming up, that we really need a Ramban and a Rashba. Meaning not even from people from the days of the Achronim, that you really need a Ramban and a Rashba to be poshet some of the shailas that we have. And we don't have a Ramban and a Rashba to answer these shailas. So what's the real answer? As we said before, the real answer is, don't go to these places unless you actually have to. And if you actually do have to go to these places, then you could talk it over with a Rav who understands these issues, i.e. not me, and hopefully you'll be able to get some hadracha as to what the best thing to do is in these places. Okay.